Welcome, everybody, to the Let's Get Critical podcast. This is a podcast where the band Frantic Romantic, your favorite friends here, we review albums. Now, this is a fairly new podcast. We're finding our footing, but we're having fun, and we're introducing each other to music that we'd otherwise not listen to, and we're hopefully introducing you to music that you'd otherwise not listen to as well.
That all said, though, we should probably, I'll let you do it, we should probably start with a disclaimer on this one, because this one's kind of a hot take.
Absolutely. So, thank you, Ruben. We are looking at an artist today who has recently come into some big trouble, and the band Frantic Romantic definitely wants to really emphasize that we don't condone
any of the actions
that this person has done. Domestic abuse, sexual abuse is not okay. It doesn't matter who you are. And we stand very strongly behind that. In this case, I'm definitely on team Evan Rachel Wood and everybody else who's come out about this particular person and what they have been accused of doing. So yes, at the very forefront of this episode is that disclaimer, and we you know, don't skip ahead. Make sure you listen to that.
Yeah, totally. You know, I think when we did the episode on Kanye, we kind of lightly did something like that, and that was more because that individual's you know, behavior isn't quite on the same level as what's going on here.
Correct.
But again, we were trying to separate the art from the artist.
Yes.
Strictly as that, you know what I mean? The art's out there, it's in the ethos. Yeah, that's all it is.
Right.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, today's episode is on the 1998 album Mechanical Animals by Marilyn Manson. Now, I won't dominate this conversation, but I will say... for me, it's a very different experience than I think it was for the two of you. Now, what I mean by that is...
you were younger at the time, right? Yeah.
I was younger, right? So I'm millennial, right? Categorically, I'm millennial. And you guys are either Gen X or like right on the cusp.
No, we're Xennials. They call us Xennials. It's like a blend of a millennial and a Gen Xer.
Exactly, yeah. Like right on the cusp there, yeah. Right? So for me, back in 1998, I was like a 12-year-old and I was afraid of Marilyn Manson. I was just afraid of him.
Yeah.
And here in 2024, I'm still afraid of Marilyn Manson.
I think that's the image he was going for, because I remember seeing his music video and it freaked me out. I remember being in junior high. I was like, whoa, man,
holy
he's
shit.
Trippy.
Everybody would talk about it, right?
It's like cool. Alice Cooper, but like on steroids or something, you know?
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, looking at generations and generation cycles, especially when it comes to marketing, you know, the 90s was an interesting time, because it was the decade of identity crisis, right? Post-Cold War, it was interesting because in American culture, we didn't really have an enemy anymore. For a good 10 years there, the enemy was ourselves. Yeah. Right, the enemy was like technology and like ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So especially on the tail end of the 90s, you know, it's interesting to see like new metal come into fashion, and you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, on the Billboard 200 is like all these like
odd looking bands, right?
Odd looking bands, kind of dressed like monsters, and like. And you know, really edgy material and like really like dark material, right?
Very anti-religion, anti-establishment, right? You know,
right?
You know, I keep chuckling because, like, as we're talking, I keep thinking at the same time there was a contrast of like Creed and Three Doors Down, and we always joke about
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So
huh?
When you said that right now about how scary, I just thought with arms wide open. I was just in my head. And I couldn't help but laugh. Sorry.
I mean, that's a monster in itself,
you know? Right?
I mean, yeah. Can you take me high? Well, I'm sorry. It's just too catchy.
It's, But it's interesting because, and the reason I bring this up is like, and I would love to hear from you guys your context for this, because my context for this was, you know, the marketing cycle for millennials, I would argue, didn't really start until kind of after this.
Yeah.
Like post 9/11, not that 9/11 really had anything to do with it, but like...
Because we were coming into age, so then we had consumer dollars, and that's when they started marketing to us, yeah.
Exactly, right? And yeah. So for me, it was like emo and like scene music and like, you know, and then you know, millennials kind of getting into like the career place was like around maybe the 2010s. And you know, suddenly MGMT and like, you know, all this lo-fi synth stuff and indie rock and all that stuff that dominated the
millennial
2010s,
whoop.
Right? The millennial whoop.
Yeah.
But I want to know, because, you know, you guys listened to Marilyn Manson back in the day, and I kind of want to know the journey with that.
So, like I'll kind of start that, because this was my pick, right? I'll be honest with you. Hot take, maybe, for people who are Marilyn Manson fans. I'm going to say that I thought a lot of his stuff was garbage before Mechanical Animals. I just thought it was like shock jock stuff. It was like just for a reaction. I was really into grunge, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains. And I was kind of like holding on to that. I went through a little Metallica phase. So when I saw like The Beautiful People and Sweet Dreams and all the, you know, Dope Hat, all these other songs coming out, I think the album was called like Smells Like Children or something like that. I thought that was just silly, right? Like I thought it was just like
it this, seemed very gimmicky. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not big on gimmicky stuff, right? Like I'm not gonna say I hate gore, but it was like, oh, this is very much in line with like what war is doing. You know, it's just a bunch of monsters, and that had been around for a long time. So I wasn't a fan, right? I think the dude who was like my best friend growing up, he was the drummer of the band that I was playing with at the time. I was trying to get him into like Metallica and stuff, and he got really into a band called Orgy. And then this came out, and it was kind of in the same vibe. It was very like, I call it like dystopian rock. Like it's like dystopian melodic rock, you know? Maybe some people, so it has some edgier stuff on it or whatever, and it is edgier than Orgy, but I felt like it was in the same realm. And I loved that band. So when Mechanical Animals came out, I saw like he put a bunch of like stuff in his garage where we would rehearse, and it was like Omega, Omega everywhere.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, you're really buying this shit? You know, I was like, really? You like this? I'm like, I'll listen to it. And I heard Dope Show. No. Yeah, it was Dope Show. It was the first song that came out. And I heard like the choir singers behind it. And I was like, okay, I guess that's different. It's different from the other stuff he was putting out, right? And for me, I think the defining moment was we were watching the MTV Awards at his house. And his uncle came from out of town. And he just kind of walked into the living room where we're watching it. And Marilyn was performing with this like suit that was supposed to be like a like androgynous. Like, you know, I think the idea of the Omega character that he was portraying was like, we'd advance to a point where we don't have a gender anymore. We can transcend that. And society won't have a need to name anybody any of that, right? Like we can exist in some means beyond that, which I think is kind of forward thinking, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I remember he came out and he had like, you know, he was like naked, but he was wearing a suit and he had like no genitals or anything like that. And he had like kind of like, it wasn't like breasts, but kind of. And his uncle was just watching the TV. And he was like this, you know, Chicano dude. And he was just like, that man is the devil. And he just walked out of the room. And I was like, I guess I like this now. All I needed was a parent to disapprove. And that's it, you know? So, yeah, I don't know if your experience was different, man.
No, man. I'm sorry. Dude, when I first watched his music videos, because that's the way I was introduced, is Sweet Dreams. And it was very ugly to me, man. I really didn't get the concept because I thought music was supposed to make you, like, you're supposed to vibe with it. You're supposed to feel it. I couldn't feel this, man. I was like in junior high and I was like, nah, it's spooky. Yeah. Right. It was, but then I got that that's what he was going for. He was going to shock people, and that's what he was going to use to get his fans. And there was a lot of, I mean, you know, there was a lot of Marilyn Manson fans, totally. Right? During that era.
Like Chicanos, you know? Mexican-Americans yeah. loved Marilyn Manson.
They would wear the shirts with the dope hat and everything. But I couldn't get into it. And then around the time, the late 90s, there was all this, there was an explosion of different, new metal was coming out, but also different, people were trying different things as far as like Orgy. I really got into Orgy. They were really yeah. cool. And it's crazy that you mentioned that because I would say that this was around the same
realm, right?
Yeah. So Mechanical Animals, the way I got into that was I the sound was really polished for me compared to his other albums, and then I knew right away that this was a concept album. You could already tell, and once you listen to it, you could tell, oh, he's doing like his Ziggy Stardust type of thing, and you could tell his influences, and I really liked how polished it was. And funny enough, he lost fans because of this album.
He did,
yeah. He got a huge backlash from the people that were really devoted to him, but then he gained a whole nother audience with this album, which is funny because I thought he was going to continue on. I thought he was going to continue on Morphine, but then soon after.
Kind of reverted.
Yeah.
Antichrist Superstar, I think, was the next one.
No,
before.
Hollywood. I got into Hollywood too.
I did too, but it was kind of a departure.
It was. It was a departure. Yeah. It wasn't.
It wasn't like Children. Mechanical Animals. No, yeah.
But it was
like, exactly.
And it wasn't Mechanical Animals, but I like the dark sound of it now that he hooked me on. But he never went back to that image,
which didn't.
I wonder why. But yeah, man, I can't wait till we delve in, break apart this album.
I just want to add one little thing. Yeah, I had heard critics saying that this was, if Bowie had continued with like the Ziggy Stardust, and maybe this is a bold ass take, right? But had he continued with that, it would have been something like this, you know, like Mechanical Animals. That's very much so what I think Marilyn was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. There are parallels, right?
Yeah.
I, you know, it could be argued that this is the 90s version of
Ziggy
of
Stardust.
That album, yeah. Right? I just some fun factoids about this. You know, it was released in September of 1998 by Interscope Records. It was a shift out of industrial and alternative metal into glam, industrial, and electronic rock. And this was, yeah, right after Antichrist Superstar, which was kind of his,
I think, breakthrough
album. This was the first time he debuted at number one on the Billboard 200, which just, like, blows my mind.
Yeah.
Michael Beinhorn.
Beinhorn.
He's a producer.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden, the album Super Unknown, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mother's Milk. Someone named Sean Bevan, who I don't know. At some point, the Dust Brothers were involved with this, but all that was scrapped. And then, of course, Billy Corgan takes credit for something, even though it's been said by the band members that he really didn't do much. That's putting it in lighter terms than they did. Marilyn Manson later noted in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine that Mechanical Animals was to represent the point where the revolution got sold out, a hollow shell of what the essence of Marilyn Manson was. It was a satire, and a lot of people interpret it as, this is what he really is. I was making a mockery of what I was, taking a shot at myself. Kmart, Walmart, and Target banned the album.
I remember that, yeah.
And that's all I have. So with that, I would love to get into bottom three. And Ruben, since this is your pick
this, yeah,
why don't you go first?
All right. For me, I'd say on the first one on my bottom three is going to be Fundamentally Loathsome. I feel like this was a song that didn't really have a lot of substance, kind of a filler for the album. I think this kind of had a little bit of that like industrial kind of metal vibe that he was doing on the other albums. And like I said, you could just tell, like, that's not what I liked about him. Like, he was doing that on some of the earlier records, and it just, I didn't vibe with any of that. Now that I'm older, now that I've gotten into a little more electronic music and, you know, producing some of that and doing sequences, I hear that and I'm like, oh, that's clever, like the way some of that works. But I still don't really like it as a song. I think it doesn't work for me, you know? I feel like that's easy. That's real easy to do for somebody like this. Like it's like music you would write to scare little kids. You know, you're hiding and you just chase them and shit, you know? Like play that shit in the background. Let's see. New model number 15. Again, another one of those songs. I think he was obsessed with the number 15 going into this album. He was going to turn 30 and he said it correlated with something with his birthday. Cause I think the album came out around his birthday or something like that. Cool. But again, he just repeats new model, whatever. Right. And I was like, that's very lazy to me too. Like,
right.
I think that's why it's on the bottom, my bottom three. And let's see what other one, Posthuman. I think again, it didn't do anything for me. I feel like it's like just easy lyrics and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of waiting for it to be over, you know?
Yeah. Cool. So it was Posthuman,
new model number 15,
and Fundamentally Loathsome.
And Fundamentally Loathsome. Okay. Cool. Zeke, how about you?
Man, I listened to this album with... when I was younger, and I thought, oh, this album's perfect. Nothing's wrong with this album. Listening to it now, I think that's changed for me, and I don't know why. Well, obviously because I got older.
You matured, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, what was it, Posthuman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was, I felt like it was a filler. There was a few fillers in this album that I feel that didn't really, if they got taken out, it wouldn't have made a difference, to be honest.
No, no. It would have been a better album.
It would have been a better album, I mean, yeah. That and Disassociative, same thing, man. It was kind of repetitive. Not to bash on his lyrics or anything, but, you know, compared to Coma White, I know he could do so much more as far as writing, so I felt like maybe...
Has the same DNA, right? Kind of? Just maybe like the rough draft, maybe, of Coma White?
Yeah, I just think I don't know. He didn't add the right mixture of ingredients to this one. And same thing with new model 15.
Yeah,
yeah, man. I was not feeling that one at all. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, fillers. No.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, and just for some context, you know, the first time I had heard this was a couple of years ago. It definitely was, it was new to me. Like, it was very, like, I felt very fish out of water, but in a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. So revisiting this recently, a couple of years later, and sort of dissecting this out. So I think we all agree on Posthuman. That was on my bottom three, and it's not bad, but it's just very forgettable, right? Mm-hmm. It felt like the album kind of went to a little bit more of a vulnerable place for a couple songs, and then Marilyn Manson was like, no, wait, they got to know that we rock still, man. Mm. So then, you know,
yeah.
So then they throw that in there where it's just like, oh, okay, the energy's back up and it's all like cool, right? Okay. Next bottom three, I don't like the drugs, but the drugs like me. And the reason I picked this one is it's very of its time. And it's like, again, me not having the context of listening this back in 1998, it's sort of like, I bet if I was like on the train in 1998, I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But for me now, it's just like... a little silly.
Don't you hear Fame in it though? It's got the same like DNA. He's like, I could borrow some of this.
Oh yeah.
Fame. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's in this pocket of that era where it was like very cool to be like, ah, oh, dude, drugs, man.
Yeah.
You know, drugs everywhere, dude. You know. And it's like to each their own. Just like for me, I
yeah,
I know. I can't really...
We don't fucks with that, yeah.
What kind of drugs was Marilyn Manson doing to wake up like that, man? Oh. Seriously.
The ones Johnny Depp gave him to shut up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then the last one I picked was user-friendly because, like, it's just kind of gross. It's just, like...
Yeah.
It's like I'm picturing Marilyn Manson, like, having sex, you know? And it's just like,
I don't want to go in that realm. Yeah.
And then also, like, the message is, like, I'm going to... Like, I don't want to get into this too much, but it's just like devaluing like the person that he's with, right?
No. I'm sorry. Is that the one with the chorus? Is I'm not the man, or I'm not in love with you, but I'm gonna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that one.
I'm gonna F you till you find the best one, or something like that.
Until he finds someone better.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very like dehumanizing. Yeah, you're right.
And especially like the added context now.
Yeah.
And listening to this like after the added context now, it's just like it was very uncomfortable for me.
And I can hear him saying some bullshit like, "Oh, that's just like artistic." And it's like, yeah, but it's in poor taste, you know?
Right.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So with that said, I mean, let's do our top threes.
You want to start?
Sure. Interestingly enough, the first song that I came across that was my top three is the title track, Mechanical Animals. I think it's like a really cool, just a really cool rock song.
Yeah.
Like it has a lot of energy, and it's like it. I think it's probably one of the most accessible songs on the album. And I don't know. I thought it just sits in a really good place. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I can listen to this.
Yeah, it was good structure, great production, great fucking production.
Yeah.
All the sounds are captured really well, and I think it conveys his voice. Like, it sits in a really good place. And yeah. I feel like he doesn't have a great voice, but he's very aware of what he can do with his voice.
Right, right. And then Disassociative was actually another one of my top three.
That's what this is all about, right?
That's exactly what this is all about.
Well, because it kind of changed my perception of what Marilyn Manson
could
do,
right?
Like, yeah. It's he's bringing down the energy a little bit. He's getting a little bit more vulnerable, and there's like some different kinds of stuff that's like kind of getting sewn in there, and it's like, oh, okay, this is like different. It's different,
yeah,
right.
You know, I that same person that got me into this album, he would listen to that fucking track over and over. He was my next door neighbor. So even when I was at home, I'd fucking hear it over and over and over. Oh, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate that song. I think it's good, but I definitely feel it's got the DNA of Coma White in it, you know?
Right.
It was like the rough draft.
Yeah. And then the last one for me is a song called The Speed of Pain.
Oh, yeah.
And it was weird. It reminded me a little bit of like Animals era Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like the part of the album, like those two songs back to back. I'm like, oh, we're going to like some like really interesting places, you know?
Totally.
And then, of course, right after that was Posthuman. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're back.
Yeah. Train stops here. Come on, get the fuck out. Get out in the garbage land. You know what I mean? I think you're right, man. Those two songs back to back make this album very like sophisticated to me.
Right.
I just thought, wow, this is good. Like, because I got into this album, really got into this album right before the controversy happened. Right. I actually was trying to like put it on you, like, hey, man, check it out. This is, and then like the news came out, and I was like, never mind.
I remember that being in a car, and we were riding up to. Was it?
Prairie?
Yeah,
we were all listening to this.
You were bumping it, yeah.
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 That was before, though.
Now it's like with earbuds if I want to listen to it, you know?
That was before the controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are my top three. Yeah.
Nice.
How about you, Zeke?
Rock is Dead is going to be my first top three. I think it just had an element of a good rock song. It has the energy, has the flow. It was on a soundtrack to The Matrix.
Matrix, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Had a cool music video to it, too. And the videos for that that album in particular were really, really good. I don't know if you guys remember
totally.
That.
Yeah. I remember watching the one for Coma White when I was a kid, and that's what made me scared.
There's a Kennedy one, right?
Yeah. It was a cool video. Really cool video.
Yeah. And that was going to be my second one, Coma White, man. It's actually my top favorite song on that. And it's a closer, too, for that album. I think it had all the elements of everything he wanted to portray with that album. That was like the calling card. Now it was a good idea to put it out as a single too. And the video was, man, video was disturbing, but it was very artistic.
Yeah.
And it was very cutting edge at the time.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's used to like performance and looking all badass, you know, and looking like Godsmack, you know.
But, Creed.
Yeah. But you know, him mimicking it was almost like a Kennedy reenactment,
right? Yeah, it was. And it was.
Rose McGowan, I believe, was in.
She was in it. She was his wife at the time, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
So, and then the third will be The Last Day on Earth, and I believe that was second to the last. And I think it was a good pairing. I think he wanted to leave that album kind of like, this is it. This is my best. And this is the last that you're gonna hear of it. I think it had all the perfect ingredients to wrap up that album. Yeah, it was really good. It was I think it was a really good send off. Those two songs paired together towards the end.
Yeah. Cool. And you know, I'm glad that you mentioned Rock is Dead. I didn't put it in my top three, but I did want to note that if you listen to that song and then you listen to Gene Genie by David Bowie, it's like very similar.
Really?
And not in like a ripoff way. Yeah. Not in a ripoff way. Like actually like in a really inspired way.
Yeah.
But it's like I could see the glam parallels between that song and Gene Genie by David Bowie. Anyways. Mm.
That's cool. That's awesome. But obviously, like I said, you could feel the inspiration from Bowie on this album a lot. Beinhorn even talks about that in the interview.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made me like it a little more. Like I thought it was good in the year 1999 was when I listened to it. And I liked it a lot more in 2020 was when I was really listening to it a lot. Like I remember going to work at some place when I relocated here to LA, and I was in this kitchen where everybody was predominantly speaking Spanish, and then they were listening to this album. And I was like, somebody playing a joke on me? Like, that's cool, you know? And then they were like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, I was asking about something. They're like, no, that's the only album that's good from him, you know?
Wow.
And that was like the opinion, like older people too. And they're like, yeah, that's a good album.
Yeah.
And then the news broke, you know? I was like, damn.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'll get into my top three. For me, I think the song that really sold me when my buddy was listening to like Dope Show and disassociated all a million times, right? I'd go over and, you know, I told him, hey, take the fucking repeat off of the CD player. Let's just listen to the album, you know?
Yeah.
Whether I like it or not, let's just listen to it so I can at least have a better opinion. And we started it from the top. And that first song, just I was like, okay, this is great.
It's a great song.
It's a great song to open the album with. If you hear it, you hear a lot of why I do what I do in Frantic Romantic with the solos. That solo they do, that wing, wing, wing.
Yeah.
That's your boy right there. That's why. I heard that, and I was like, I got to figure out how to do that, you know? And then Tom Morello did his thing, right, in Rage and Audio Slave. What's his name? I don't even think that's actually a whammy. It sounds like it, but I think it's a synth because their keyboard player was freaking amazing. He was an amazing producer, and he was in the studio giving these sounds to Beinhorn. Beinhorn's like, well, this guy's a really good producer, so I think that's why the album sounds so polished, right?
No, that's cool.
This song, I think it checks a lot of boxes for me. Lyrically, it's good. I think there's like some pain, some healing, and I feel like it's like somebody trying to snap out of that life, you know what I mean? Trying to snap out of that like burnout life or something, you know? That excess.
Yeah.
Maybe that didn't happen, but that's kind of what I got from this song. That's why I think I liked it so much. It's got a very like dystopian, like sterile vibe to it. Almost like I could picture somebody being cloned or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
With the same memories. That's kind of what I got from it.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Second one on my list is Coma White, because it's a beautiful song. It was produced so well. The guitars, they were all done by Twiggy. I didn't know. I know he was the bassist, but he recorded all the guitars on this album too. He was really good, and you know he actually got Me Too'd before Marilyn, and I think it was kind of hypocritical because Marilyn like fired him. Like he was like, "Yeah, we want nothing to do with
him.
Like,
we don't do stuff like that around here."
And it's like, "Yeah, get the attention away from me." Basically, I think you know. But he was a super talented guitarist. Like the sounds, they used a series of things like a 5150, which is like a very well sought after amp. It's what Van Halen used to use back in the day, you know, like a hot rodded 5150, Marshalls and Mesas. And I'm a big Mesa Boogie fan when it comes to music, but listening to the way they captured like acoustic and the way they blended in the electric stuff on something like Coma White, the video, all those factors, I was like, there's no way it's not on my top three, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Something I didn't think he was capable of doing with all the spooky chasing kids music that he used to do, you know? I always remember that thing he put on his mouth that fucking, you know, that made it bigger,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On Beautiful People, you know? Yeah. And the magnifying glass. And this wasn't that.
You gotta do that.
You gotta do that shit, yeah.
Crazy, man.
I don't know if that's kerosene, baby.
Yeah, it's probably that's off brand, man. It's off brand. Maybe Marcelo should do it.
Yeah, we can get Marcelo.
I could see that. Marcelo would do it.
And then the last one on my list is The Last Day on Earth. I think that's probably one of the most perfect songs he's ever had on his catalog. I don't think there's a better song on his catalog. It didn't hit me till probably a couple years ago because I had heard the album, right? And then I kind of went back and was listening to it. And then I was like, why didn't I ever notice this song? It's such a badass song, you know? I think I was skipping all the like number 15s and posthumous. I was trying to skip over all those. And I may have kept skipping over this one. I heard it and it's got mood. It's got ambience. There's like, I feel like there's like sounds of like landscapes, you know, like wind or something in it. And that gives it like a real visceral vibe.
Yeah.
I do feel like it's very apocalyptic. It's very like accepting your fate.
Cool.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that song.
Me too, man. Honestly. I mean, I could separate from the artist and say, yeah, I do love that song too. Mm-hmm. But fuck Marilyn Manson.
It's funny because, yeah, there's a certain line that, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, but then also, you know, you know, it's interesting because I mean, there is all that context, right, with someone like him, and it's so unfortunate that all that stuff happened, right?
Yeah.
What's great about this show is, you know, we are examining the work,
where
we're examining the art. So I think that we can appreciate the art, in this case.
Yeah, totally. Right?
So with that said, and I know it's been two episodes since we've been able to do this, but I was finally able to find a hot take on the album.
Yeah.
And then we would decide if we agree with this or if we disagree, right?
Okay.
Now, this is from it's from an Amazon review from April 11th of 2005. And it's... It says, I really don't get this type of music. This little albino goth is just screaming into a microphone. His music videos are just disturbing. I really don't like this. Real rock music is 70s rock. Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Hendrix all saw the true meaning to music. And plus, they all knew how to use their instruments. I know that all you gothic Manson lovers are reading and thinking you want to kill me. Well, I don't care. I don't see how you like this. I guarantee you it will be dead soon, and you will wonder why you even liked this shit. Peace and love, goths.
Wow.
I get the feeling that's someone's dad.
Yeah, I think so.
He probably found an album underneath his kid's bed. He's like, let me see
that, Katie. What the fuck? You know, yeah.
Katie?
It was my friend's uncle. That he was like, that man is the devil.
Yeah. Well, and so for me, this kind of relates back to how I think a lot of this album was, in a way, affected by a lot of 70s rock.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, you know, there's a lot of Bowie in this album, and
Floyd.
I agree. Floyd in this album,
yeah.
And you'll find that with a lot of 90s music, that there is a thread going all the way back to the 70s, because culturally we were kind of in similar places, right?
Greta Van Fleet, too, right?
Well, Greta Van Fleet in the 2010s, yeah.
I love that band.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh, man.
No, I don't. But we're going to review their album. I'm going to pick that. So you got to listen to it now. Sorry, off topic, man.
But I, you know, I will say, like, I see what this person's saying, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah,
right. Because it is very much like, my music was so great, your music is really bad. Blah blah blah. Right,
my Sharona.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the thing that sucks is, like, nowadays I'm falling into that trap too, where it's like music that comes out nowadays, I'm like, my music was so much better. And it's like, I don't want to be that guy. But anyways, with that said, what do you think of this review from Amazon?
It sounds like a dad review, totally, man. I get it.
Like Randy Marsh.
Like, sometimes I find myself falling into that category. Like, I hear MGK, right? What's his name? And Machine Gun Kelly, right? And I hear that, I'm like, dude, that's a total ripoff of, like, Good Charlotte. But, you know, to each their own, he's introducing whatever he's trying to introduce to a newer generation that I knew that, you know, Good Charlotte came. And I wasn't a fan of Good Charlotte. I'm not trying to diss him either. But now you could kind of appreciate them because they were coming out with that sound before this guy was. But I don't think it's all true. I think overall this album, even if you don't like it, I think it was, he was influenced by 70s rock. I mean, if you look at like Led Zeppelin or Alice in Chains, right? They always joked around about devil worshiping or something like, or there was always this type of like sinister, like mystique to them that they use in their favor, just like Marilyn Manson, except it's amplified. But I think this time around for this album, he kind of toned that down and went a little bit more glam. But overall, I think that it's still worth a listen to just to see where music was in that era and what was shaping and what was forming. You know, necessarily he didn't stay in that sound, but you could kind of see his influences through there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that being said, I don't know if you want to hear my opinion about the album yet, or we're just
definitely, absolutely, yeah, please, please do.
Just listening to it this time around and then knowing all the stuff that went on, there's certain songs that I can't listen to that I'm like, I don't know, you know, it's very unsavory. Man, I don't even know how to put this. Because I used to really love this album, you know. And now listening to it back, it's not a perfect album. It definitely has some few gems in it. But like I said, I don't know, man. The whole controversy kind of, it saturated my idea of it. And I tried to separate that. I really did. But overall, I do have my favorite songs out of it. And in one note too, I don't know if you guys remember this Spawn soundtrack.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that song, Long Road Out of Hell?
Hell yeah. I wanna live, I wanna love, but it's a long road. Yeah.
And it was a Sneaker Pimps remix, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, was he in that session, was he influenced to make this album? Because they used a lot of electronics on that track.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought maybe it sparked something inside of him to be like, hey, maybe I need to go push a little bit in this direction just to see how it sounds. Because that song came out pretty cool on that soundtrack. And that soundtrack was pretty dark, too. I think he had Filter and Silverchair. It had all those 90s.
Yeah. I bet you Billy Corgan was walking by Craft Services. And he's like, hey, Marilyn, your next album should sound like that.
And then he's like, yeah.
Make sure you credit me. I'll credit myself later.
Billy Corgan was involved with writing our next album. Just want to put it out there,
yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, Billy Corgan has garnered a reputation by now of
crediting himself with a lot of other people's success. But we'll leave it at that.
He's like, Nirvana, that was my guitar sound. You know, yeah.
We don't want to get a backlash, so I love the Smashing Pumpkins, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, we all saw them, including Marcelo. We all saw them a few months ago. It was great, great album.
MNSDP.
Or a great concert.
Concert.
Down in Irvine. Ruben, what are your final...
You know what? I don't agree with this, but being a parent, I could see how some shit would affect you, and you kind of turn off. Maybe a part of your brain, and I'm not saying you're not in an ignorant way, in a caring way, right? So maybe I could see how the perception of this, especially if you're not into it or you're not aware of what the facade is, could scare you, and why you would do a review like this,
right?
You know, I had the same thing. I'm gonna be real, right? Like I had this with my daughter. She sings every song on the radio, right? And there was this Doja Cat song that came out with like the video was hella crazy, and like she was like getting into it, and I was like maybe you shouldn't listen to that one because you're gonna want to watch the video, you know?
Oh yeah.
So and I was like, man, I'm like the old guy now. I'm like, but that's what happens. So I understand that, like 100%. I get that, right? I did that. I became the old guy.
It's crazy how we naturally kind of have to step into those roles, and I didn't think that was going to happen to me either, but then some of the stuff that Doja Cat's doing, I wouldn't want my daughter to watch that either, man.
But dude, Dark Knight, right? What is it? Stick around long enough, you see yourself become the villain, right?
Well, and I think we all have this sense that like we have this idea that we feel we know what we can handle,
yeah,
but we're worried about what, for instance, youth, like a daughter can handle, right? And it's like you want to make sure that it's not, morphing someone's perception of reality, right?
And
you know, all throughout the 90s, especially the late 90s, and 80s too, with like Satanic Panic and all that. It's like, I think that's where that was coming from, is like, how do we know that this person is perceiving this thing in a healthy way, and like you said, they're in on the facade, right?
Yeah, they can see it's the art, you know what I mean? It's the act, it's the movie. Yeah. You know what? And I tell her that all the time, right? Like with anything in media, like wrestling, pro wrestling is my best example, right? She'll be like, oh, he's bleeding. I'm like, you know how he do that? The referee hands him a blade, he does it this way, it's safe. I've done it before. And she's like, oh, that's not scary. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell her the truth about it, you know?
Yeah.
But you can't always do that with some mediums. They're a little out there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with that said, heavy episode, but I'm glad we did it. With that said, always a pleasure doing this podcast with you guys. Let's get critical. Hey, we're the band Frantic Romantic.
That's right.
All right. If you want more information about us, you can visit our website, franticromanticmusic.com. We're always writing music, recording music, playing music, and all that stuff is ripe for the future, always. We do this podcast because we're music makers and also music fans, and we're buddies.
Right.
So this is all about exposing each other to music that we otherwise wouldn't listen to. And we'll be back soon with more material. In the meantime, please leave your comments. Please leave questions, anything you want. We're always looking for suggestions for albums to listen to. So we will look for those, and we will give you a shout-out if we end up doing a review that you've recommended. In the meantime, we are going to sign out. Thank you very much, everybody. I've been Mr. Kerosene.
I've been Zeke Zero.
Rob Walker.
Let's Get Critical is a part of the Lemmy Listen Podcast Network. You may find all Lemmy Listen podcasts on such websites as Spotify, Deezer, SoundCloud, and other streaming networks. You may find more information about the band Frantic Romantic by visiting franticromanticmusic.com, as well as our social media platforms. We're always posting information about concerts, new music, and more. So please, visit us, reach out to us. Let us know if there's any albums you'd love for us to review. Until next time, this has been Let's Get Critical.